"What did the microscope show, Sal?" he asked. The lanky black biologist gave Jamie a somber stare. "They're all gone. Just a few weeks out in the open killed them all."
"They're all dead?"
"Every last one of the cells. Dead." "And so are we," Jamie said to himself. "So are we." Tithonium Base, midnight. Midnight. Jamie stared at the numerals on the digital clock beside the bed. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't remember being so tied up, so tense. Never in his life. Not even when he was pouring every milligram of sweat and determination in him to get picked for the first expedition. It had never been like this. Not all this pain, all this anguish. He turned and looked at his wife, breathing softly beside him. In the shadows of the darkened room, he could just make out the curve of her shoulder against the sheets. He'd been too wired even to try to make love with Vijay. "Everything is falling apart," Jamie told himself. "Everything I've ever wanted, ever worked for, it's all falling apart." "It's such a mess," Jamie thought. "I can't ask her to stay here when there'll only be 15 of us on Mars. That's not enough people. It'll be too risky for her. But she won't want to leave if I stay." He realized he'd said, "if I stay." For the first time he'd used that deadly little word, "if." And he remembered his conversation after dinner with Dex. Maybe his last conversation with Dex ever. After dinner, as he and Vijay were walking back to their quarters, he had seen Dex leaving Chang's office. "I've got to talk to him," he'd said. Vijay had nodded her understanding and continued walking to their quarters. "Dex," Jamie called, hurrying toward him. "Wait up a minute, will you?" Trumbull stopped and eyed Jamie, a quizzical expression on his face. "The final arm-twisting session?" he asked. Jamie tried to smile, failed. "You're leaving tomorrow." "Right." "And so will you, buddy, sooner or later." He gripped Dex's arm and led him aimlessly across the big dome, steering him unconsciously away from the busy cafeteria, toward the empty labs on the other side. "Chang's making preparations for the evacuation flight," Dex said, his voice low, tight. "Looks like just about everybody's going to leave in a couple of months." "Dex, isn't there any way?"
"There is, Chief, but you won't allow it. You'd rather sit here with a couple of dozen people and twiddle your thumbs until even Cellini's funding runs out and you have to abandon this place altogether."
Jamie felt a hot iron smoldering in his guts.
"And then you move in, with your tourists."
"Damned right. Better than leaving Mars abandoned altogether.
Turn this place into a Disney world."
Dex pulled his arm free of Jamie's grip.
"You just don't get it, do you, Jamie?
You're just as fanatical as those suicide bombers who hit your campus. You'd rather die than bend a little."
"Maybe," Jamie said tensely.
"And you're willing to risk DJ's life, too."
"That's not fair."
"Fair my ass. You want everything your own way. Well, there's more than one way to run this operation, and once you're gone from Mars, I'll come back and do what needs to be done to keep exploring this planet. With tourists. With the frigging 7th Cavalry, if that's the only way to do it."
"Yeah, I imagine you would."
"This isn't some holy crusade, Jamie," Dex insisted. "You see Mars as some kind of sacred shrine. Only the truly devout may set foot upon it."
"Well, that's not the way the world works, friend. Never was and never will be. I believe it's our duty to preserve this place from people who'd wreck it."
"Christ, you're like a father who'd rather send his daughter to a convent instead of letting her live in the real world." "This is the real world," Jamie fairly shouted, spreading his arms out wide. "I don't want to see it ruined."
"Then stay here and help protect it. Stay here and take charge of the tourists who'll bring in the money you need to keep going."
"I can't, Dex.
I just can't do it,"
Jamie pleaded, his insides knotting.
"Then we'll do it without you, after you leave."
"I'm not leaving."
Dex drew in an exaggerated, exasperated sigh.
"So you're going to stay here? You and 14 other fools?"
"As long as I can."
With a shake of his head, Dex said softly,
I just hope you don't kill yourself, pal. Or your wife.
He turned abruptly and strode away, leaving Jamie standing there, furious, his insides clenched. He realized the dome was utterly silent. The people in the cafeteria were as immobile as rocks, staring at him. Feeling alone and friendless, Jamie walked off toward his quarters. Now he lay in bed, realizing that he might never speak to Dex again. He also realized that Dex was right. There was no other way. No other path that led out of this quagmire. But it was a path he could not take. As quietly as he could, Jamie slipped out of bed. He padded to the lavatory and pulled on a fresh set of coveralls, then tiptoed to the door.
"Jamie?"
VJ called drowsily. "I've got to go out for a little while," he whispered to her. "I'll be back. Go to sleep." Without waiting for her reply, he slid the door back and stepped out into the dome's open common area. Barefoot, like a skulking redskin, he said to himself, sneaking around in the night. The dome was dimly lit. Just about everybody was asleep, except for the people monitoring the communications equipment. No one was outside in the bitter Martian night. No one was out on an excursion. They were all asleep, Jamie thought, waiting for the inevitable day when they would leave Mars for good. As he padded softly toward his office, Jamie heard the soft sighing of the breeze wafting by. On any other night, it would have comforted him. Not tonight. Mars is saying goodbye to us. Goodbye to me. He reached his office, sat on the yielding little chair, and sank his head in his hands. "It's finished," he thought. "Dex is right. What can 15 people do here? I'd be putting VJ's life in danger. I can't do it. I can't do it." "They win," Jamie told himself. "I have to leave Mars forever." He wanted to cry. He wanted to sob and tear his hair and mourn the death of all that he had hoped for, all that he had worked for. But tears would not come. Not even that solace was allowed him.
"Oh, Dr. W.,"
Jamie looked up, feeling his cheeks flare hot with embarrassment. It was Billy Greycloud, standing at the entrance of his cubbyhole, looking more than a little embarrassed himself. Tithonium Base, The Prayer. "Billy," Jamie said softly, suppressing an urge to wipe his face of the tears that would not come.
I saw the light on in your office."
Some office, Jamie thought. A cubicle with flimsy partitions that'll collapse if you lean on them.
"Do you have a minute?"
Greycloud asked. His voice was soft, but Jamie heard some urgency in it. Remembering, Jamie apologized. "I said I'd see you after dinner, didn't I? I'm sorry. I got, tied up, sort of." Greycloud nodded minimally.
"You and Mr. Trumbull?"
Jamie nodded back, realizing that everybody in the dome must have heard their shouting. "So what do you want to tell me, Billy?" he asked wearily. Shifting uneasily on his feet, Greycloud replied,
"Can you come over to the comm center?
It'd be easier if I show you what I've got so far." "The translation?" Jamie got up out of his chair.
"Well, it's making some sense. Sort of, I think.
I'd like to get your reaction to it if you've got a couple minutes." "Okay." Jamie got to his feet slowly. As they started across the shadowy dome, Greycloud said,
"I think maybe I'm getting some sense out of the writings."
"You are." Despite himself, Jamie felt a tendril of excitement pulse through him.
"I think so.
I might be fooling myself, you know, putting words in their mouths, kinda. Let's see." Leading the way toward the comm center, Greycloud explained,
"I assigned specific words to each of the symbols, and then sort of filled in to make sense of each line,
like the Egyptologists did to translate the ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics back in the 19th century. Jamie felt an increased respect for the young Navajo. "You've been doing some research, haven't you?" Greycloud lowered his eyes bashfully.
"Yes, sir. Some."
Two women were monitoring the consoles in the communications center. Greycloud booted up an unused computer.